Thank you, Carol. We certainly need, if you will, we need to get lost in His love. We really do. We need to get ourselves lost in the love of God. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. If you will, I want you to bow your heads. This is sort of a prayer. I'm going to pray it now. I'm going to share my sermon. And they're going to pray the same prayer at the end. Let's see how much difference it may be. Fill all my being, Savior, I pray. Let me see only Jesus today. Though through the valley thou leadest me, give me your glory and your beauty to see. Fill all my being, Savior divine, till with your glory my spirit shall shine. Fill all my being that all may see your holy image reflected in me. Amen. We've been traveling together. We've been taking a walk. We've been walking in the Spirit. We've been taking the Word of God, opening it up, and we've been studying the subject matter of the Holy Spirit. We've covered a lot of ground together. We've looked at it from different perspectives. My main goal was to help you to see how and why God gave us the Holy Spirit at our birth into the kingdom, because the Holy Spirit is essential for you and I to become and fulfill the purpose for which God has brought us into His kingdom. We've seen and very clearly know, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16, every one of you probably know it, and you say it, but do you live it? Your body, my body, is the temple of the living God. Do you not know that the Spirit of God dwells in you? We've also seen very clearly, according to Romans 8:13, that one of the reasons God gave us the Holy Spirit was that through His power in the inner man, He could put to death, mortify the deeds of this fleshly body. That you and I, in and of ourselves, cannot overcome the slavery and the power of the flesh. We needed, if you will, an inoculation. We needed something to help us. Some power within us, in the inner man, that even though this battle between the flesh and the spirit, that the Spirit is stronger than the desires of the flesh. And the flesh can be mortified. It can be put to death. And if you living and are living after the flesh, you will die. But if you live after the Spirit, you will live. You and I are making the choice of who's going to win. If you choose to serve the flesh, you will die. But if you choose to serve righteousness and do what is right in the eyes of God, you will live. Romans chapter 6. We have seen, according to Ephesians 3:19, that we are to be filled with the fullness of God. We're to be filled with the fullness of God. We also have seen, according to Ephesians 5:18, we are commanded. This is not a choice, people. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're commanded. Not to be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, where we are brought under its control. You are to allow the Holy Spirit to take control. You are to be filled under His control. You are to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that He is controlling your emotions, your mind, your thinking, your will, that you are under His control. God didn't give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power, so that that power inside of you can accomplish the will and the purpose for why God brought you and sanctified you and set you apart and elected you and selected you to be a part of His kingdom. That was God's choice. The Bible says that God adds all those who are being saved to the ecclesia, to the called out one. God does that. You don't join the body of Christ. God adds you to it. He adds you to it. We have seen that according to Ephesians 1:13, we were sealed in Christ by the Holy Spirit. Back then, a seal was very clearly understood by those who lived in the times of Caesar. a seal not only substantiated the authenticity of that which was sealed, but it also was sealed to determine ownership. Back then, the seal was impressed into that which it owned. The image of the one who owned it was impressed into it. When the Holy Spirit came into you, it impressed into your spirit the image, the nature, the character of Jesus Christ Himself. And we are to have in us and are to be being conformed to and transformed into the very image of the Son of God. Now don't tell me God can't do that. Because according to 2 Peter, He has given us all that is essential for you and me to live a godly life. Godlike life, okay? We are to be sealed. That is, that God Himself has impressed, His Spirit has impressed itself into your spirit, and your spirit and His Spirit have become one, whereby you have fellowship with the Spirit of God, and you cry out to Him, Abba, Daddy, Father. You know Him. You know that you are a child of God because He has given you the Spirit of God. We have seen, according to Romans 8:29, are you listening? We're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. If you truly are a child of God, God wrote it in stone. Before the foundation of this world was laid, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who agree in one, had been and laid out a plan of redemption that was carried through and foreshadowed through all of the Old Testament Scripture. And then was fulfilled in the giving of His Son and the beginning of Pentecost, where God laid and poured out His Spirit on Pentecost and began an unbelievable work of transforming people's lives into the very image of His Son. We're predetermined, predestined by God that if you're going to be His son and His daughter, you are going to conform to allowing Him to transform you, to change you, to transform you into the image of His Son. And you're to conform to it. You're to allow it to be happening. You are to bring your will into harmony with His will. You're to walk in the Spirit. Bring your will into harmony with the Holy Spirit. You're to bring your will into harmony with this. This is the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. All you have to do is be transformed by the renewing of your minds. What does that mean? That means you take this book and you put it into your thought process, and you live it. You walk in it. You do what it says. James says, he who hears these words of mine and looks into this mirror which is the Word of God, and looks into it, and then straightway turns around, walks away from it, forgetting what he saw. It's like being a double-minded person. This is the mirror. This mirror reflects to you and me the image and the likeness of God. This is the only way you're going to truly know God. Now, I know God has revealed Himself in the inner man to every one of us. There's no one in this world that has ever been born that God hasn't revealed themselves to them in the inner man, so that they are without excuse. Even the pagans know there is a supreme being. Not only that, but God has revealed Himself through that which He has created, His handiwork. His eternal power and wisdom is seen through the things that He has made. Every day you wake up, you look outside, you're seeing the wisdom and the power of God being manifested. But lastly, He revealed Himself right here through His revelation. He has revealed His glory. He's revealed His divine nature. He showed us for who He is and what He is and how He works and what His purpose is. And you're going to find that only in the Word of God. That's the only place you're going to find it. You're not going to find it out apart or separate from God's Word. You're not going to find it. And so I'm saying to you this morning, as you look at Romans 8:30, it states there, those whom He predestined, He glorified. Has, present, past tense. Those who He had predestined from Pentecost on, everyone who came into His kingdom, God has glorified, is in the process of glorifying them. He's transforming them, changing them from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Bible says every day we're being renewed in the Spirit. We're being changed. We're being transformed. It's an ongoing process of God at work in us to accomplish His will and His purpose. The Word is glorified. The Word is glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. Colossians 1, 26, 27, we looked at it. Let me remind you what it said. He says, that is the mystery. The mystery that has been hidden from past generations. All through the Old Testament, the angels and the prophets were looking into it. They wanted to see it. They wanted to know what is God's plan. What is He going to do? What is He going to fill? They wanted to see it. They wanted to be a part of it. They wanted to be in it. But they weren't allowed to it. Even the Hebrew letter, chapter 11, talks about all those who were slain and persecuted and put to death because of their faith. And they hadn't even received the promise yet. But they died believing in the promise that God had made to Abraham, that all of his descendants would be blessed. And blessed through a seed, not as of many, but as one. And that seed was Christ. So when you think of the mystery hidden from past ages and generations, are you listening? Has now been manifested to His saints. The word manifest means has been made very clear. There shouldn't be any one of you here today that should have any question about what God's eternal plan and wisdom is and what He has predestined and predetermined that He's going to do in your personal life, and you need and I need to be conforming to it. That is that He is transforming us into the same image. That He's transforming us, metamorphosis. You've heard the illustration that a little lava worm puts itself into a cocoon in the fall, and then through the process of through the winter months, inside of that cocoon, there is a transformation taking place, and in the spring, when that cocoon opens up, out of it flies this beautiful butterfly. That is the Greek word, metamorphosis, transform, change. Change from a physical, sinful nature to a spiritual being who now has within him, impressed by the Holy Spirit, the very nature and the image of an eternal God, Christ-likeness in us, transforming us, changing us into a beautiful God-like person. That's what He's doing. He's doing it in His life of His children. And if you're one of His children, then you should be able to testify of what's going on in your life. You should see the flesh being put to death. You should see the fruits of the Spirit, which is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness and so on, self-control, being brought forth from your life and blossoming into reality. And that's who you are. You're a loving, kind, patient, gentle, forgiving individual because God's Spirit dwells in you. And that's the kind of people God is making, transforming us into His image. Peter goes on. Peter says, to whom God willed to make known the riches of the glory, there's that word glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope of glory. So Peter states it very clearly. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, listen to what he said. He says, through the true knowledge of Him. Do you know Him? Do you really know who God is? Do you really know His nature, His character, who He is? Have you seen His glory? You can't be transformed into His glory if you've never seen it. Some of us have concocted a glory, a God, the likeness that isn't in the book. Some of us have taken the God and His words and His teaching and we transferred them into what we want Him to be, which makes us feel comfortable, however that might be, okay? But there is a true knowledge of Him. That true knowledge of Him was revealed in the image of His Son. Jesus said, I've come that you might know the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you have seen God. That's what he said. So his purpose was to reveal us the nature, the divine nature, the glory of his Father. Jesus said, I've come to glorify you, God. I've glorified you. Now you glorify me. Now God is at work. And he gave Jesus another body. The body is called the church. And the purpose of the church is to glorify the Father, just like the Son did, that the world might see him and know him through our lives, shining like a brilliant light, reflecting the image of God into the world, at the workplace, wherever you go. You take Jesus with you because you are him. We are the body of Christ, over which he is the head, over all things to the church. And so he says, who called us by his own glory and his excellence, for by these, that is his glory and his excellence, he has granted us his precious and magnificent promise, that by it, his promise, the Holy Spirit, you may become partakers of his divine nature. Wow! God wants to be in me, transform me, changing me, making me like himself. And he shared with me through the Holy Spirit his divine nature. He impressed his image into my spirit that he could transform me, change me from glory to glory into his likeness. Why should even be mindful of us when you think about it? Okay? So, this isn't new, people. You go back to Exodus. After God had delivered Israel from the Egyptians, as he crossed the Red Sea, as they saw, and as it was, the fire on Mount Sinai, Moses went up and to receive the Ten Commandments. They saw the quail, they saw the manna, and so on and so forth. And this is Moses' question. This is Moses' question to God. This is what he asked in Exodus chapter 33, verse 18. Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. God, please, Moses begging him, show me your glory. And God said to Moses, you come on up tomorrow. Come up to the same rock. Hide yourself behind this rock, because if you look at me face to face, you're going to surely die. But I will pass in front of you. I will pass in front of you, Moses, and I will show you my glory. I'll reveal myself to you. And God said to Moses, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it shall come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away, and you shall see my back, but not my face shall be seen. Now the Lord said to Moses, cut out for yourself two tables of stone like the former ones, and I will write on the tablets the words that are on the former tablets which you have shattered. So be ready by morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai. Present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain. No man is to come up with you, but let any man be seen anywhere on the mountain. Even the flocks and the herds may not gaze in the front of the mountain. So he cut out the two tables of stone like the former one. Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. He took two tables of stone. The Lord descended in the clouds. Are you listening? The Lord descended in the cloud and he stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquities and transgressions and sin, yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children and the grandchildren to the third and to the fourth generation. Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Show me your glory. Show me glory. And God said, Moses, I will pass my glory in front of you. What is His glory? His goodness. His graciousness. His compassion or love. His slowness to anger, His patience. His loving kindness, which is everlasting. His forgiveness, reflected in His mercy. When He said, I will be merciful unto their iniquities and their sin, and I will remember them no more. But I will remove their sins from them as far as the east is from the west. That is what Moses heard and saw on the mount of that day, which reflected and is the expression of the glory of Almighty God. He is good and gracious and compassionate and patient and loving and kind and forgiving and merciful. That is the God that's revealed in this book. Now, you probably have had other concepts and thoughts about God. I want you to know they didn't come from this book. And we'll show you that here as we turn to 2 Corinthians, our text for today. And I want to show you something, and I pray to God that the Holy Spirit will indeed accomplish this in your life and mine today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but at the very beginning, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he begins and says, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or we need some as letters of condemnation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested, that is, clearly seen, that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tables of stone, but on the tables of what? Human hearts. What do you think God is writing upon your heart? If you and I are predicted and predestined by God that we would be transformed into His image, and He are, and we are a letter from Christ, we are God's letter from Christ, this is not the New Testament. This is but a revelation of the New Testament. The New Testament is setting right here. The church, the body of Christ, we are the letter that God is now sending to a lost and dying world. We're His letter, not written on tables of stone, but laying on your heart through the Holy Spirit that wrote it on those tables of stone. That same Spirit is taking these words, writing them into your heart to be known and read of men. What type of letter are they reading from your life and mine? What do they see as far as your life and mine is concerned? And as we go on in that particular portion of Scripture, as we see here, you'll see there's no doubt that he's talking about the Ten Commandments, even though there are those who believe the only thing that was destroyed was the ceremonial laws. You can't read this and not see that he's talking about that which was written on the tables of stone. And that when Moses came down off the mount, you remember his face radiated with the glory of God because he'd been in the Lord's presence, and he had to put a veil over Moses' face because they radiated so brilliantly with the presence and being in the presence of God. Well, people, what about us? Moses didn't even see his back. All he saw was his back, and yet he saw he was in God's presence. And now God is in me. God is radiating in me His glory. He is transforming me from glory to glory. Shouldn't I radiate that God's presence is in me, with me? Shouldn't it? And that the letter that God and people are reading is indeed the letter that God is sending them through my personal life as He's written His will and His purpose and transformed me into the image of His Son and written it into my heart to be known and to be read of men. It's clearly manifested to the church. I don't know if the church has read the letter. I don't know if we've read it, really read the book. and really saw what God's eternal purpose and plan was, what he was going to be and what he was going to do with those that became his sons and his daughters, and how he was personally going to fill them with his presence, and they would be filled with the fullness of God, and he would begin a work, because we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We're his workmanship. God is at work in us, creating us. We are to be created. That is, if God could create the universe, can he create you and transform you and change you into his own likeness? If God created us in his image in the beginning, and Adam and Eve bear that image, oh, you remember? Have you heard this verse? Did you get the verse? Romans 3:23? You remember what it says? All have sinned and fallen short of the... Oh, my word. So every time that you're not kind, every time you don't show compassion, every time you don't express mercy, every time you're not willing to forgive, every time you are not sharing and being and sharing the glory of God, you have fallen short. You have sinned. Sin is a transgression of the law. It's missing the mark. Falling short of the divine image that God originally created us in the first place. And Christ came into the world to renew it and to bring about and to create a people that again would bear the very aspect of the image and the nature of God, the divine nature of God that is in me. Through his word, the seed, transformed by my birth and water in the Spirit, raised to walk in a newness of life and begin a transformation that will go on until I see him. So I better be bearing that glory now so I can share in his glory that is yet to come. Did you hear what I just said? So when you and I look at this particular chapter, there's no doubt about it that we all, with unveiled face, what unveils my face? Well, the Hebrew account says, fix your eyes where? Fix your eyes where? Fix your eyes where? On Jesus. Where's your eyes? What do you got your eyes on? What are you focusing on? What's your foremost purpose in life? Is it to become like Christ? Is it to be transformed, changed into his image? Then fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes onto him. Where are you going to find his image and his likeness? You're going to find it right here. And if Jesus came to show us the Father, then you're going to find Jesus going about doing good. You'll find him compassionate. You'll find him merciful. You'll find him forgiving the thief on the cross. You'll find him expressing the very nature of God in his own being. And that nature is reflected here. It's there. You need to see it. And as you're looking into it and as you're evaluating it like a mirror and you look into it and you see where you're out of the way, then you should be praying, God, Father, please help me to become more patient. Please help me to be more kind. Please, God, help me to forgive those I haven't forgiven yet. You do realize if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. We've all fallen short of God's glory. But God has a way in which he has planned, predestined, and predetermined before the foundation of the world an elect people, selected together in Christ to be a people that would receive his Spirit. And through the power of that Spirit in the inner man, he would stamp his seal, his own image, into my spirit and begin a work of transforming me day by day into the likeness of Christ. So when people read his letter in my life, they're going to see Christ living in me. Amen? Would you bow again? Now think about it, these words. Dear God and Father in heaven, fill all my being. Savior, I pray, let me see only Jesus today. Though through the valley thou may lead me, give me thy glory and beauty to see. Fill all my being, Savior divine, till all your glory my spirit shall sign. Tell all my being that all will see your holy image reflected in me. In Jesus' name, amen. We had a wonderful fellowship at the picnic yesterday. My wife and I prayed earnestly that if nothing else, that the Spirit of Christ would be manifested in what went on in that fellowship. How many of you felt the Spirit of the Lord yesterday? Huh? Wasn't it a fantastic time together? Beautiful fellowship, Spirit together. In fact, I played beanbags for quite a few times in my life, out at Dave's and so on. I never have ever seen anybody put three in the hole in the same time. Mandy had never played the game. And in one setting, boom, 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 9 points. I'm never playing there again. No, we have it coming. I have to pay because we quit. Don't you love Jesus? Don't you love him? Don't you love what God's done in your life and what he's yet to do? Aren't you excited about what your life is? Can't you allow it to radiate? Can't you just see that God is doing something in you that you couldn't do if you tried 100,000,000,000 years? You cannot overcome your flesh and your desire without his help. And yet we're not done. Because there's something lacking in the power of the church, and it's our prayer life. And one of the other things the Holy Spirit does is he intercedes between us and God in our prayer life. So we're going to be sharing that, and I hope you'll come. Because we're to pray in the Spirit. You know that? We're to walk in the Spirit. We're to pray in the Spirit. And we're to sing in the Spirit. You know how you should have entered here today? Huh? The Bible says, enter my courts with thanksgiving. Enter my gates with thanksgiving and my courts with praise. Come unto me with joyful singing. For my kindness, my loving kindness is everlasting and my faithfulness is to all generations. Amen. Now we ought to come in here with the anticipation of singing, praising, and lifting up the name of Jesus. And doing it joyfully and happily and praising him for what he's done in our individual lives. To God be the glory. Let's stand together. Let's sing it as we sing it together.